have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Issues with Dr. Pasabello and the sisters. We're going to clap for ourselves because we finally did it, our first episode of 2021. And I'm going to bring on my sister, Pastor Dr. Bello. How you doing? It's been a minute since we had real issues. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. You are a hard person to catch up with. I know you got a whole log of things you've been doing.
I know, and I told myself that if time permits and we'll catch up this weekend. We are doing open mic, and I have some questions. But, you know, with open mic, it's just we are just trying to fill in the gaps according to scripture. Lord God, never leave us alone. Keep us always in the palm of your hand. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning. Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be the salt in this world. Amen. So it's very exciting today. We have open mic, and if anybody chimes in, they're welcome to. We're going to ask Dr. Kimmy to give out the line number. You know, and I say that all the time, and I think to myself, if they're listening to the radio, maybe it's through Blog Talk, but they really don't have, you know, the telephone number. So if you can give them the telephone number that they can actually call in on.
Sure. Please call in 49842. And you can also listen on Blog Talk / Elation Radio.
Amen. Amen. I want you to know that any given time, you can wake up at 2 p.m. and listen to any one of the shows that's already recorded on the Blog Talk Radio. So what we're going to have, we got three questions. And the first one is, how much is your life worth? And I like that question because, you know, you can get all kinds of answers. But remember, whatever answer you give, we know that it's probably quadruple times that. And the actual reference that I'm going to is John 3:16, God so loved that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you cannot put a price on what was felt when that actual event had to take place. So we know, as most of us as parents, we couldn't even fathom somebody telling us to do that. We can go back to Abraham. It's a lot, and people don't understand that every day should be cherished. It's a gift that God gives us. And it shouldn't be taken lightly, that we should wake up and be so very grateful for our life. When I talk about different things, and one of the things is when we're, you know, doing tithe and offering, everybody gets real quiet. And I never for life of me understood why, because that's your opportunity to show God that you know how to be obedient over the small, because we're always praying for more. So with that being said, you really, if you're not obedient to the word, then you really have not placed a high value on your life. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead right there at the altar for lying to the Holy Spirit. So that lets us know that our life is worth a high price, and we shouldn't take it for granted that we can do just the small. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will whisper to us and say, hey, I want you to give that homeless man $5. You might only have in change, not including cards, you might only have $6. You like $5. But you don't understand what God is trying to do. He's trying to test us over the small. He's already told us in Malachi to put him to the test. So he's like, you know what? I back this. I'm keeping it real. You know, 100. You can take it to the blank check that I'm giving you, and it will never bounce. So that goes back to what is your life worth? And we have to understand that we just went through something very, very that's detrimental to our life, which was COVID. And every generation has their own, you know, I call it drama. They have their own drama. But ours was COVID. And during that COVID season last year, people were acting like they was trying to pay for life because they were very obedient. They were giving more. They were helping people. You know, they were making sure that their neighbors, their family, some of their friends were taken care of. And then it's like when they introduced the vaccinations and the death toll started declining, it's like all that went out the window. So, you know, they didn't understand what their life was actually worth. You know, any given time, they could have been one of them that contracted COVID-19, but they didn't. God puts a lot of stock in us. If we go back to the beginning of time, notice that it says in chapter 1, verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Everything was finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he restored from all his work, which God had created and made. Thus, and this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. So that's letting us know that we are Christians because we follow the principles of Christ. And the principles of Christ is to follow what is written in the Word. Okay. The seventh day, God rested. And he sanctified it. Okay, so that's a holy day. So we should know now that he's taking value and stock and ensuring that we have time to fellowship with one another, Sundays and rest. And he puts down here that this is history. Okay, so there will be no mistaking about how they taught us in school and, you know, all the other things that they'd be saying, how people was created. It's clearly written in here how it was created, so that should let us know that our value of life is very high. Now, if we skip down to where it says in verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of dust and the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man began a living being. That was the breath of life. So we got it from the Creator himself. So that lets you know that life is priceless. How can you put a price on the breath of God? You know, we try to sell a lot on eBay, but I mean, I'm telling you right now, you cannot sell that particular event on eBay. It cannot even be an Eventbrite feature because it's priceless. You can't put a price on it. So oftentimes I wonder when people always just say willy-nilly things, such as when you ask them, oh, how was your day? Oh, I'm hanging on there. What are you hanging on to? God already gave us a plan. He woke us up. Follow the master plan that he has, because he gave us a priceless life. So I've given out three incidents of how it's priceless. We see here that he made sure that he already knew that we were going to be following the scriptures, so the seventh day we should rest, because he doesn't want anything to cause us to have the health problem, to be fatigued, to be stressed. We're priceless. It also has here, he gave us his breath of life. So that means that, I didn't have the camera on, my husband was telling me. So that means that we are priceless because we can't put a price on his breath of life. And the third example I gave you was when he said, when I was given out about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And he did that so we could be able to go directly to him, to pray to him, to repent to him for our sins. He invested a lot of money into us. And a little calculation that I did will blow your mind. So let's just say, if you would imagine, if you had $57 trillion multiplied times three. That is not even coming close to what our life is valued. So we are priceless, so we shouldn't put a value on it. So what the first question is going to be, you know, that's some type of English, and I hate to say I am from Baltimore Finest Public School. So we're going to retract that. The first question is, when you think of how priceless your life is, give me an example or scripture or even an incident that happened to make you know how priceless your life is. And I already kind of sort of know which one Dr. Kimmy might give us. Dr. Kimmy?
Well, I'm going to just say you never know when your time is up, because I'm looking at like a life where you're seeing so many young people dying. I mean, 18-year-olds or 3-year-olds who are, you know, just minding their business and they're shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know the day nor the hour. And so that's why life is precious. And that's why he says, don't be concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own problems. And so that would be my thing, just knowing that everything is unexpected. I mean, I'm looking at all these wonderful people that went on to be with the Lord, and you no longer can really talk to them physically, but you know that they're in your heart. That is another indication how priceless life is. You cannot go into the grave and say, I would like to buy her life back. Once it's gone, it's gone. I mean, it's so priceless. It's like when you lose someone that you love, it is so hard, and it takes time to overcome, and it's not an overnight process, and you don't really get over them gone. You just learn how to cope with them gone. And so life is so precious. I mean, you cannot buy life. You cannot buy love. You cannot buy respect. And most importantly, you can't buy eternal life. And so that is what comes to my mind. It's the uncertainty. I mean, I'm looking at this world. A lot of people don't have standards of God. And I was just saying earlier, it's really frightening to see or to just hear people living without God, because this world is dying every day. I mean, the standards of, if you compare today versus 5 years ago, just within 5 years, the standards are diminishing. And some people don't have, like, value on people's lives. They would take you out for $5. I mean, you could look at someone you could just look at someone and not really intentionally meant to look at someone, and then they'll shoot you. I mean, it's just so crazy. And so that is one thing I can say why life is so priceless, because you don't know. You can't say today, well, God, I did this, so can I have tomorrow? You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. We don't know.
Amen.
And that's why every day is a day of, that's why every day is a day of Thanksgiving, because he gave us another opportunity to see another day so we can worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that would be my input.
Amen. Amen. Also, when we think about our children, that's how we should be raised, to let them know that their life is priceless. And, you know, I'm all about making sure that we raise biblical women, and thus Eyes of Esther that I chair for my organization. And that's one of the things we do teach them, are the characteristics that they already have. You are a child of God. God handmade you. You are priceless. And most above all, you are loved. So that's what we try to teach them. I mean, I'm not just saying it's for just young ladies, but it's for all children. But I do know for the organization there, you know, that's one of the things we tell them, because, you know, it's so much in the world that they hear and that they see that is way above anything we can comprehend, because new and brighter things are coming out. I just seen on TV, I don't know what it's called, it's when, okay, I'll put it this way. Way back when I was growing up, you go to a talent show, it was the one that was in New York, which was...
Apollo?
Yes, the Apollo. But they have went from the Apollo to when they went to the one where you come out and you sing and they vote, to the one where you sing and they already step back to spacing you, which me, I think is so rude. But anyway, they back to space, and then if they don't turn around, you know, then they sing. Notice that I didn't say God, they sing, because Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But anyway, they think that, you know, you're not good enough until they turn around. And then they done graduated now to where you have the, what is it called, the alternative ego of yourself that's performing, and the real person is backstage performing, you know, because they're trying to let us see how advanced modern technology is. But to me, you are who God made you, not what you think you should be, okay? I don't condone anything like that. You know, okay, it's entertaining, but let's get straight now. We're trying to go to heaven, and God didn't say anything about alter egos. He didn't say anything about whatever you want to be, you can be. Let's get everything straight, because if we look in the scriptures and we look through the different verses, and one of the ones is chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. That let us know that nothing else, you see my hand, I'm clapping them.
Nothing else.
Planned or established for us to actually take control over. That's including anything you're talking about, alter egos, talking about I should have been a man when I was born a woman, any of that. It said hosts of them and everything were finished, okay? Verse 4, thus is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, okay? It didn't say subparagraph 2, line 1, this and that. So, yes, we're going back to how priceless your life is. You cannot put a value on it, but you can definitely devalue your life by certain ways that you act, which are not in the Christian manner. Then that devalues. You know how if you have a work of art, let's say the Mona Lisa, and you scratch it, oh my goodness, you have just devalued Mona Lisa. So that's
yes.
How we do ourselves, you know, and we have to think of ourselves like that as priceless. Anything we do, we have devalued, and it's almost like an insult. You've insulted God by saying, you know what, I know you gave me this priceless life, but, you know, it's my life, and by the way, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you have really insulted him. He took his time to make us. The perfect example is what I read, which was when he had here, verse 7, and the Lord formed man of the dust and the ground, and the breath into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. So that lets us know he handcrafted us. And you can debate it, you can slice it, you can marinate it. It's still going to be the same. God is the creator, and he created us to be priceless. So, the next question that I have on here is, if we are living, and you've heard people say this, that's why it's open mic, if we are living on borrowed time, do we have to pay it back? So I got an answer for that. Okay, we're gonna slow walk this one. I got an answer for that one. What do you consider as borrowed? Okay? Because we're the head and not the tail. We're the lender and not the borrower. So what aspect would you, you know, approach this? So the aspect that we're approaching is, and I got a good example here. No one can say that God was not long-suffering for the sake of our souls because he waited 120 years for the ark to be built, and only 8 souls were saved. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing wherein, see, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. No person could ever have that kind of patience. Only God have waited like that. That's to tell us that God has nothing but time. Okay? As a matter of fact, if we have to venture out when it says in the beginning, okay, in the beginning, that's our beginning. That's not his beginning. That's our beginning of where he wants us and our little human mind to wrap around. He's not asking us to try to figure out or guess what happened before. So in the beginning, so God has nothing but time. God is today, tomorrow, and forever. He was yesterday. God has nothing but time. So another example that we can use is, it says here that it's usually described, and this is according to the dictionary, what they have on borrowed time. To continue living after a point at which you might easily have died. So what it's saying is that, let's say if someone says that you have chronic lung disease, there's nothing we can do, your lungs is going to collapse. People will often say when God does his miracle, that you're living on borrowed time. But they take it out of concept. It's not technically borrowed time. First of all, it's a, like I said, we're the lenders, not the borrowers. So it's technically not borrowed time. What it is, it's the time that God has allotted back to us. It could be for various reasons. You know, the prayers that your grandmother prayed while she was living before she died. The seeds that you already planted while you're here on earth, asking the missions that you have accomplished, whatever assignments that God wants you to complete and finish. A good example is our spiritual father, Morcerillo, who died last year. He had a mission. He went through a lot prior to that. One incident was his leg. People could have said, okay, he was on borrowed time because he had a flesh-eating disease. But God saved his life because he was the one tasked to build the legacy center. So it's not technically borrowed time because it all time is God's time. But that was what God needed for him to do. And a lot of times, us being human, we try to actually put a actual branding on something that can't be branded. A miracle is a miracle. It just is. It's not borrowed time. It's not, oh, God favors you. Is it, you know, they say it with bad intent. They don't say it with good intent. So we try to put a label on things that don't need a label. Then the second part of the question is, do we have to return it? Once we, you know, first of all, for everybody that did not know this, and it might be a rude awakening, the only retirement plan we have is death. So we're working for God all the way up until that point. So you know how people say, oh, I'm retiring from ministry. There's no such animal. Okay, you cannot retire from ministry unless you're telling us right now as you're talking, you're getting ready to drop dead or something. The retirement plan is death. And it's retirement means you can relax, and that's what our retirement plan is. So with that being said, it says that do we have to pay it back? Okay, we do. But it's not with time. You cannot pay back something that was never yours. Time is not ours. All our time is gone. You can never pay back something that's for. Second of all, we do have to pay back, but that payback is when we go before judgment. And we have to judge according to what we use this time for. If you use this time to try to see if you can smoke up all the marijuana that there was in everybody's field, yeah, you didn't do good on your time that was given to you. If you were striving to accomplish the mission that God was actually keep giving you different visions for this and vision for that, then yes, then you got a good accountability of your time. It's just similar. You can't really relate it to people that come close is when we go to work. We are according to the way we work because that's the only way. We're graded according to the way we work in Christian realm with God, spiritual realm with God is because we need to do what he has asked us to do. So our payback is when we go to heaven to give account to what we have already done here on earth. So example that I can give as far as my experience is just last year, 2020. 2020 put Holy Mountain International Ministries outreach to the test with the time that was allotted to us. I can remember where I had to just pray to the Holy Spirit to see one, what? You know, you like, what? And then two, okay, what do you need to do? You know, so we were coming up with actual on-the-spot SOPs, you may as well say. But what do you do when you have the whole world shut down? Because that's what we did. We virtually shut down. I mean, it was really nobody on the highways and streets. So we were working according to the visions and the mission and the guidance, you know, the general overseer. And that let me know that I was going to be held accountable for what I did and what I did not do. So certain things you have to quote over to yourself. And, you know, I was, you know, perfect example, people need food. How are you going to get it to them? You know, remember, when I born with the spirit of fear, so that can't be your answer going up to the pearly gates. Oh, I was scared. Nope, that can't be it. So what we did is we packaged it. We rang the bell. We went back to our car. We called. They gave us a safe distance. So that was the true test for me of borrow time and do we have to pay it back. My time that God gave me, because I can't borrow something that he's already given. So the time that he gave me, I was able to implement the different resources that he was giving to us to be able to give it back to the community. So, Dr. Kimmy, what example, variant, or even Bible verse that you want to give for our question number two?
Wow, you said a whole lot. All I can say is that okay, buy back your time and then to want it back. The only thing I want is a well-done verdict. And that is what this life is for me. It's just basically a life filled with graces and mercy every day in the morning from God. And my main, I want to help as many people as God allows me. But really, I cannot buy God's time. His time and my time are two different things. So what can I expect back? I just want the well done. I want God to be pleasing in my sight. I want him to see the work of a discipleship. I want him to look at the heart because God looks at heart and man looks at the outer. And so a man can really, really look good on the outside, but what's the inside? What is that motor? What is that under the hood? So that's why he looks at the heart. And secondly, well, what I was going to mention is the fact that there's a parable in Matthew that God talks about, and he talks about those who's going to be on the left and those who's going to be on the right. I want to be on the right side. And so in order for us to get there, we must submit our life over to him. So really our life isn't our own. It belongs to him. And so I can't ask for anything back that doesn't belong to me. So the only thing I really want, honestly, is that well done verdict. That is all I want. Amen. I just want him to be so pleasing, and I just want him to see my heart and know that everything I do is for him. And I want to love others. I love people. You know, I love to, you know, be around good people like you and your husband. You guys are amazing people. I just love seeing wives and husbands working together and building the kingdom. You guys are an amazing team. And so that is all I want. Of course, it would be nice to, you know, have a little bit of money. But my main purpose, honestly, is to get the well-done verdict. And the sad thing is I'm seeing so many people dying with the COVID and unplanned death, and they are young people. And I pray that God was with them. I pray that their parents taught them the ways of the Lord, because I'm seeing so many young people dying, and it's just so sad. And so that's why it's important that we know what we are here for. Our life is definitely priceless. Time is running out every day, because we don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't. If that was the case, I can really have a certainty, but I don't. My only assurance and security is in God, because he says that when you believe on him, you have eternal life. And so if you don't believe on Jesus, where is your eternity? That is the question. So I would like to say that the only thing I want back is eternal life and well-done verdict, and I pray that I get that.
Amen, amen. Our last question for today, we're going to I hear this often. I'm tired of trying to say, God even wants me to be rich. Okay, first of all, we're going to go back to, you know, we do everything according to the scripture. Genesis, and the reason is everything we're doing is so we can see that it started way back. It didn't start at the end of time, at the end when the last scripture was done. No, way back, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four. The name of the first is Possum. Mm-hmm. It is the one which searched the whole land, Hevala, where there is gold. Then it goes and it says, and the gold of the land is good. Okay? You know how to say money is evil. The gold of the land is good. What you do with money can be evil, but money is not, because we got gold right here. The galleon and the oxen stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon, and in which it goes through the whole land of Cush. Then it talks about the third, and it, you know, goes on to the fourth, but it starts off with gold. And when I read this over and over again, it amazes me, because, you know, even when you get different status levels for membership, you get the bronze, you get the silver, you get the gold, and then it went up to platinum. So gold, we already know, is shiny. It never rusts. You never notice that gold never rusts. And that's how currency is held according to, and you know, you got to get the currency, the weight status, but anyway, for the gold. So we know that if God had it there then, why would we think that he, in whatever your richness is in your sight, why would you think that he doesn't want you to be rich? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's a difference between being wealthy and being rich. Okay? Wealth and richness, and let me give you the dictionary version, because it's not a comparison, but so you see exactly where I'm going on wealth. It says here that wealth is an abundance of valuable possessions or money. And then in the dictionary, it says that rich, having a great deal of money or assets, and being wealthy. So the difference is, to be rich, you have to be wealthy. Wealthy, then you become rich. Okay, we have the scripture that was done in the beginning of the time. We already know that our life is priceless. So therefore, we have already been blessed to have wealth because we have scripture wisdom. Wisdom is to know how to search and get biblical, some guys and pastors going to start teaching on it, biblical economics to teach us how to get the wealth which will make us rich. Now, the underlying fact of it when it says, oh, you know, money is the root of all evil. What is done with money and how people allow it to be their God is the root of the evil, okay? God knows we have to pay for things. And I know this because it even says, when he talked about when he sent to pay the taxes, and it was defined right here. And so now I had a lot of stuff up. And it's in Matthew 17:24-27. And it talks about how the taxes was paid. So let's think about that. We see in the first part where he's talking about gold. We see where Jesus had to pay his taxes. And we're going to go to Matthew 17:24. Matthew 17:24 states, when they had came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to people and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, let's offend them. Go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Okay, it's two things I want us to see out of this. Well, it's really three. The fish that had the money. That fish had to be at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. Remember, the fig tree got cursed because it was at the right place at the right time, but it wasn't doing the right thing. Now we see the fish is at the right place at the right time, which we can always classify it as the first ATM machine, because, you know, ATM machine is where you go and you pull out the money. So it was at the right place, it was at the right time, and it did the right thing. That was done in order so he can pay the taxes. We also see here where Jesus paid his taxes. He did what he was supposed to do on earth. Okay? Give to Caesar what Caesar, give to God what God. Tax time came out, we paid our taxes. We're still fighting people. Well, not virtually fighting, but still talking to them about how they're supposed to do tithes and offerings. Okay? The third thing that we see in here is that, look at here, it took money to do this. So therefore, everybody said money is bad, money is this, oh, you don't need money. Okay, yes, you do, because Jesus needed the money to pay taxes. And remember, we are Christians, and we walk like Christ. So we're supposed to do as he did. He didn't try to get over. He didn't try to go the backward slide way. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. So that lets us know that God wants us to have money. So if we're Christians and we need to, and we're walking as Christ, we need to believe as Christ. Christ believed. You're going to go over there. You're going to get that first fish. That one you catch, open the mouth, get that corn. That way. He already knew the corn was going to be enough to cover for him. He already said it. He said, there's enough money to cover for me and you. So that lets us know that he had the money, he got the money, but he used the money appropriately because he paid for his friend. A lot of us were praying, oh, Lord, give me $1 million. Lord, blah, blah. What are you going to do with $1 million? Did you even put in your prayers what you was going to do with $1 million? Are you going to help outreach? Are you going to help homeless? Are you? What are you going to do with it? Or are you just going to sit back and just keep it? Because you see in the scriptures, Jesus didn't do that. He's going to say, oh, well, I got my money, Peter. You got to figure out what you're going to do about yours. No, he did not do that. He went ahead and said, pay for me and pay for you. Okay? So, yes, money, you need it. I'm not going to say money is good because all money is not good. But that's a different subject. But we need money to pay for the things that's here on earth. And as you pray, remember that we're here on a mission. We're not here on our own mission. We're here on God's mission. So if your mission is to help people, pray God will give you the finances, the resources to be able to help others. Pray that God will give you the wisdom to be able to be guided to do the right thing with the money that he has given you. You know, I gave you the example, Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't do the right thing. They just dropped dead right there. So give an example of myself. It's like a part A of it and a part B. The A part of it is I always pray. But during these times last year, I was praying for more volunteers. Okay, instead of me praying for that, how I want to put it, I found out from the Holy Spirit what I should have been praying for, which was praying for more resources. Because when I prayed for more resources, God gave me more resources, which was more food, but he gave me the volunteers to help with the overflow of the food. So sometimes our prayers are missed because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit to pray for the right things to get the financial abundance. What else I had learned through the Holy Spirit is that I always pray, Lord, let me have money so I'll be able to bless those that you send to me. But I have to also pray for the wisdom to bless those that you sent for me. Because we have to strip ourselves out of the picture. You know, I might say, yes, that child is homeless. She needs a home. But the Holy Spirit might be, no, that's not why I'm sending her to you. I'm sending her to you to feed her spiritually because I'm going to take care of the rest once she accepts that I am God. So we have to strip ourselves away from whatever God is telling us to do with the finances. Thus, we need heavenly wisdom, you know, bestowed upon us. Another example I'm going to give is a pastor had to settle a family dispute. And the way he settled it, and now the family is together, it was very remarkable. You know, I don't want to give the details. You know, people are always watching. But it was very remarkable. And I knew it came from the Holy Spirit, the way he did it. I knew for sure that's the only way he could have got that Solomon knowledge to get it like that, because it was instant that the family came back together when he settled it. So that's an example of getting that heavenly wisdom. Dr. Kimmy, what can you say about when people say, God must not want me to be rich?
Well, I agree everything that you say. I really believe that God do want us to be rich. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say that we will be evil if we want to have money. It's how you get the money. It's what you do to get to that, you know, dinero. So I really believe that what you said, that God wants us to have wealth, because in order to us to have ministries and to have resources, we must have them so we can give them away, because he says to be a giver. So in order to be a giver, you have to have something to give to. Sometimes it could be your time. Sometimes it could be funding, but it's very important to have funding. And so it says in a word that when Solomon became, you know, the king, God gave him to this. He had the opportunity to have anything he wanted. God asked him, what would he like to have? He says wisdom. But then after God realized that he is really into him and not more so into, you know, the resources and the people, places, and things, then he gave Solomon wealth. But, of course, Solomon had other things after that. But what I want to say is that God will give you the things. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Look at Job. He restored Job like two times. I mean, he doubled his portion for his trouble. So when you go through things for the Lord, and when you go through things for doing things that is right and that is true and honorable in his sight, he will bless you more than you ask for. I really believe it's how you get the money. It's how, what you do with it after you get the money. Are you the type of person not to help, or will you be willing to help, or would it be just about you storing up your like money, like the parable about the person who bought the barnyard? He stored up all of his riches, and then a storm came. How can you enjoy something like that, just to store away for you? And also it says in the Word, somewhere in Proverbs, it says that you are a curse if you don't leave your offspring anything. So we must leave our offspring, our children, something. It says that in the Word. And we must do it in decent and in order. And of course, we want to make sure that they are able to handle, you know, what we send, I mean, what we leave them. So it is important. He didn't say that money is bad. It's what you do with the money, because he created everything. How can he say it's bad to have these things if he created it? It's only when we have unselfish motives and we use them for us and not for the kingdom.
Amen.
You are a giver. You are a true giver. And when you give more, I mean, it's amazing how when you just give and it comes back to you like, oh, and you don't worry about it, and then you have more. I mean, it's just amazing. The more you give, the more you receive. I really believe in that statement in the Bible. And thirdly, I'm still reminded that the reason why he did that parable is better for a poor man to make it to heaven than a rich man, because a lot of the people who are rich, they don't sometimes seek God first. But he didn't ever say you will be in heaven if you're poor and you'll be in hell if you're rich. He didn't ever say that. So some people just take some scriptures out of context. And so it's what you do it and it's how you manage and it's what you do with it. Are you going to do it for the better of the kingdom? Are you going to help those in need? I mean, I'm with you on that. He didn't say I have to be poor.
No, he did not. He said the plans that I have for you, those ones
exactly
help us off through it. He also let us know, you know, and everybody laughs when I go back. The 23rd Psalm solves everything. it tells us that he's going to prepare a table for us. It costs a lot to have an open buffet like that, okay? It costs
I know,
a
with
lot
your enemies? Come on.
Yes, that's why you have to, you're going to be rich. You're going to have a lot of wealth. You know, wealth is even, if you measure wealth, wealth is not just monetary. It's with your friends, it's with your family, it's with your children, right, which are assets. So we, you know, like I said, Pastor's going to do Bible study on
I have another question. I have another statement. It says, oh, my goodness, I just lost my train of thought. It was just on my train of thought.
Holy Spirit, bring it back.
It came up and I forgot what it was. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's funny. Okay. It'll come back.
Well, no, what's funny is that our time is actually up. That's why I said I knew we had a lot and I said I talked. But I'm going to let you in. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, time is rolling by so fast because I think I just seen something about Gary Roy's daughter graduated high school and she was going to college or something. And I said, man, I can remember the beginning. But we always thank Gary Roy because he made a lot of things happen. I'm saying he was the pioneer of the time.
Right?
The only reason I'm saying was is because he raised up a lot of us. Okay? So now we're becoming pioneers. For our generation. And also, for anybody that wants to know about me, just go to Facebook. Look up Dr. Rhonda, second word, Bello, B as in boy, E-L-L-O, one of the pastors at Holy Mountain International Ministries Outreach on Facebook. Also, the Blessed Network Live has all our shows on there. We're running now, and I thank God. We did two shipments, Dr. Kimmy. Yesterday we did a shipment, 40-foot container to Nigeria, and we just sent off collaboration with some more churches to La Place, which is 30 minutes from New Orleans and 30 minutes from, But we did a 53-foot truck for that. And I'd like to thank Bishop-elect Richard, because he's the one right now. And give him a call afterwards if you get chance, Dr. Kimmy. He's on the road now with that 53-foot truck going to New Orleans, okay?
Oh, wow.
Well, going to La Place, which is 30 minutes from New Orleans. And this came as a vision to one of God's pioneers for the outreach, and she's the one that hit it up, got all of us, and is going out. There's a lot of missions that we're doing. We know we always keep Haiti in prayer, too. That's Bishop-elect, his mission. So there's a lot of missions that's going on, but I do thank God that he gave us grace and mercy because we did that 40-foot yesterday, did a turn and burn, and had to get up early today and do the 53-foot. But, you know, I didn't say a word because guess what? I ain't God. I knew if God told me to do it, the only choice that I had was to do it. I keep telling people the old song, say 99 and a half won't do. God is looking for 100.
Come on. 100.
You know how it is. I used to love that song. So I thank God for the grace, and I thank God for the mercy. To be able to do that. So just look or check us out on most all the time events is on the Blessed Network Live. We got a lot of events. We having our very first. I always go to other people's husband and wife retreat, but we're having our own, which you will see it very heavily advertised. It's going to be in March instead of February. February is a cold month. February is always packed with people trying to have husband and wife retreats because it's Valentine's, but we're doing it in March because I'm a firm believer that you don't need a given day, special holiday to have a husband and wife retreat. You just do it because that was already a mission that God wants you to do. We also want to reach out to people, let them know that we still until, I believe, Tuesday, running the ad to donate for IRA, the hurricane, because they're going to get another one that's been ready to hit them. So donate if you have. If not, we thank you for actually having the desire. And we will stand as one with you and continue to lift you up in prayer to make sure that anybody that wanted to invite, that God would give you the provision, because he sees your heart and knows that you have good intentions for it. I'm trying to make sure I round about circle to do everything. As Esther, we are having a woman's program, which will be the fashion drama experience, but this will be the first time that it's actually going to be done in Lagos, Nigeria. Date to be announced, but it will be this year. Next year, Husband and Wife Retreat is being sponsored by Isa Esther. And then we will have our very own, which will be that next month in April, the fashion drama experience. So it's a lot going on with Isa Esther. We've been talking about this famous makeup, which will be coming out next year. Select things. So it will be, you know, starting off with the lipstick and the lip gloss. And then we'll work our way up, because it's not built in one day. And we're offering promos, because we want you to bring friends. So we're doing it, our actual live open for business. We're going to do it by Zoom, and we're going to do it actual live so everybody can participate. And, you know, you told a friend, you would simply just put it in the chat box, hey, I told such and such to join. I see where she's joined. You know, I like to order and receive my discount. People bring friends. Hey, this is my friend. I like to get a discount. So what happens, let's say somebody sees lipstick they want. That friend would get the discount. They would get the discount. So that's the only way to be fair, because, you know, I've been to places where I went and the person gets the discount and I'm just sitting up there paying full price. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I have to pay for gas, too, to get over here. So that's why I'm not doing it that way. But I would like to encourage everyone, as I said, to go out to Elation on Blog Talk. It's jam-packed, okay? You would never, ever, 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 ever walk away from it and say, I couldn't find nothing. It's impossible.
Amen.
It's never going to happen. So I encourage you. Of course, my hopes did sink down because we're not doing Elation's honor. But Bishop-elect did tell me that, you know, it's planning for next year, which I cheered up real quickly when I did hear that. I'm all having time out to fellowship with like-minded people. And
amen.
He'd invite us, and he probably talked to you, Dr. Kimmy, about going back up there to, where did we go? Where was it? It wasn't Maine.
Indianapolis?
No,
Connecticut?
We went up there that time.
Connecticut?
Connecticut, yeah. He invited us to go back to Connecticut. So I'm getting details on all that. That's next year. So I'm getting all those details so we will be able to meet and greet. And probably this time you might, because I don't think the last time you brought your children, did you?
No, it was just me. It was just, remember, we had fun.
Because they're older and, you know, gives them life experience. You know, real life.
Yeah.
You know, wow. This is what my mommy does do. And, yes, I mean, hearing her.
The only thing about what he's doing in October. Yeah. See, that's the same weekend for their homecoming, so that's why it's hard for them to come.
It's one for October, too. Mom got on my computer. It's a hollaback.
Yes.
Right. This is
that's the same weekend as their homecoming, so that's why it's hard for me to come now.
That's the same weekend as the what?
Homecoming for their high school and school.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
you
when
get into
young,
all that. You're
yeah.
But
I can't go come because, you know, you got to take care of home first. And You know, they're little ones. I don't want them to say.
But you don't want to miss. You know, you only get that one time.
Right.
So you don't want to miss that at all.
Exactly.
You
so you understand.
you know, you really don't want to miss that. Okay, I see it.
So that's the only reason why they come this year. That's the only reason.
Well, that's a good reason. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I don't see, because I don't
it's
think all, last year they had, because
no, they didn't have it last year due to the COVID-19.
Right. And they have a nice website.
It's
going to
be fun.
Yeah. So I'll turn it over to you, and you can close us out with prayer.
Well, you said everything about the advertisement, and I just love what you do, you and Pastor Bishop Bello. You guys are so amazing in the Greenville area, serving the young, the homeless. I mean, you do it all in your area, and I really love the fact that you're sending out food to Louisiana and Kenya. That's amazing. So I want to definitely just showing what it means to be a true giver. And I really love Real Issues. It's really amazing to be back. And I can't wait until we have our first initial topic. I know we don't get them until about 3:30. That's easy. So, afternoon. And so I'm just so glad that we're back. I've been missing this podcast. But if all minds are ready, I would love to pray as well. And Pastor Bello, we're going to see each other again. I miss you. I'm sending you a COVID-19 hug.
I'm coming through that way. I might try to do like a, you know, you can have a layover when you're doing your flight.
Oh, sure.
You know, you have to stop.
I would love that.
Because
I would really love that.
Yeah, I can do. It's got to be something done because I haven't seen you forever now. You probably grew 5 inches.
I know. It's crazy.
At least when you
I miss that laugh. I miss, you're just so fun to be around. When I first met you, I was like, oh, yeah, this is my sister for life. So, yes, I would love to see that. I would love to see you.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray this out. And I know you got probably like 2 or 3 things to do before you turn it in.
I got
to because I know.
Email, so I promised myself by midnight, I got to go to bed. Look, watch this. It did tell
exactly.
Me, did you just read that God rested? Okay, well, I got to rest.
Yeah, go rest because we need you. So, Father
yeah,
God, we thank you once again. Yeah. Father God, we thank you for a wonderful day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this wonderful podcast, Real Issues. Oh, thank Father for my sister, Pastor Bello. Bless her and her family and her children and grandchildren. She's just such an amazing sister, and I still admire her as if I just met her. So, Father God, as we turn in tonight, we pray that you are pleasing with our work and with our heart and with our living. And Father God, we thank you for your son who died on the cross for our sins so that we can have life with you more abundantly. And we just thank you once again for purpose living. It is amazing just to wake up each day with a purpose to serve you in spirit and in truth. And Father God, we're going to continue on praising you, honoring you. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, your son who died for us so that we can have a relationship, and we're going to make these prayers and other requests in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you.
Wow. So, Pastor Bello, do you have anything to say? We did it. We did the first podcast.
I know.
Okay. Well, thank you once again, family, for coming on and listening to Real Issues. And I love the open mic. The open mic gives you the opportunity just to have a good discussion about exciting things. I love this about my life is priceless, and we should live as if our life is priceless. That is a wonderful topic. Thank you once again, Pastor. And I just want to thank you so much once again for coming on. I love your topics. You're amazing, and you be blessed. And I can't wait to see you very soon. So we're going to close out. And family, have a blessed evening, and we love you. Here from Real Issues with Pastor Dr. Bello and the sisters.
Amen.
Peace.